Going. All right, hi, it's Diane, and it is Tuesday, November 13th. I'm here with a noon group. So far we have Aaron and Charlene and Lauren and Melanie. Who wants to start us out with celebrations and check-ins? Oh, somebody just joined us from South Carolina. Who's that?
Hi, Amy is on the line.
Hey, Amy. Okay, great. Who wants to go first on celebrations?
Well, this is Melanie.
Hi,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, so I'm celebrating that I got back from the conference, and my family was in good shape, and Margaret is now more independent in her morning routine. Yay.
Wow, so it took you being gone for a week for them to figure out something without you, and now she's got some independence. That's awesome.
It's so far, it's sticking. We'll see. We'll see how long it goes.
So, Melanie, my question is, what can you do to kind of get curious about what's different with you gone, or what inspired the independence, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit curious, but I'm also just going to savor it and praise it.
There you go. Love that.
I don't want to break it by asking the wrong question.
I love that. Good insight. Good insight. Who's next?
Hi, this is Aaron.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Erin. I'll go. I'm driving, so I'll go on mute right after I'm done talking. I am celebrating that my son and I, well, we're still having 17, so we have conflict, but the intensity of them is so much better. And I'm really celebrating that. I just noticed we're navigating things a lot better.
So, Aaron, do you notice that, so when it's not as intense, are you modulating it before it's resolved? Are you taking time out? What specifically are you noticing?
It's the first thing you said that I think part of it is me. I am not as reactive. And I actually tend to be more reactive than he does. So I think that's part of it. But, like, last night, he has a girlfriend now, so curfew has been an ongoing issue. And he completely violated it yesterday again. And I was relaxing and did not really, it was late. I did not want to get into a whole thing again. And I was able to just say that. I just said, look, you know, we've talked about this. And so the issue was there. It's not really resolved, but everything was just direct, but calm and loving.
Love,
you know,
that. That's awesome.
This con, which is huge. Yeah, it's really great. It's really great.
Awesome.
Yeah, love it.
Cool. Who's next? Check-ins and celebrations.
This is Lauren. I'll go next because I have a little bit of a similar situation. I have a 17-year-old son, and I'm celebrating that he is definitely more mature than he has been in the past. I'm sorry, I don't know who just spoke, but
that was Aaron.
Unlike Aaron, I have been much more quick to get frustrated. So I realized that I need to work on myself. But he has been in some ways more mature.
Awesome. So it may be, Lauren, that you want to take aim on your own trigger management in certain situations. So can I plant that seed and loop back to you?
I really need to do that, yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, so Kara, I see you joined us. We're just doing check-ins. I've got, let's see, I need to hear from Charlene and Amy and Kara. Who wants to go next?
I'll go, Charlene. I too am
great.
Celebrating my trigger control that I'm figuring out what is triggering me with homework and what is triggering me with when she doesn't get ready and I am learning to take a step back, breathe deep, try to get curious what she's doing, and if I feel like I'm going to really lose it, I just say what I feel. I'm like, I'm frustrated right now. I'm going to walk away. I'll come back and we'll talk about it later. And it's been working pretty good for me. I've been working on it for a long time, so.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Kara or Amy, who's next?
Hey, this is, it's actually Mia, not Amy.
Oh, so, Mia, I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Said it quickly and I didn't hear
you
it. Mia.
You switched the letters and it makes Amy too, it's fine. Or mine.
It does.
Yeah.
I guess I'm dyslexic today.
But like my daughter, right. So my celebration, this sounds really funny, but so my daughter got her second period since our last call, and we've had all the emotions kind of riding that roller coaster. After our last call, I focused on empathy first. You know, like it's just really, it's tough having cramps and having to go to school, and, you know, it really just does suck. But I was just really proud of how she's taken ownership of packing her supplies, and it's a small thing, but she's been very planful about wanting to have a pouch in her backpack, and they have a place in the girls' bathroom at school, and in each bag she's got a little pouch of the supplies she needs, and she came to me and said she needed to restock it, and could I add the things to the grocery list, and I was just thrilled. This, you know, she's got a checklist in her head for her
awesome.
Purse that goes past Kleenex to include, you know, feminine supplies, so it just, yeah. So not something I can say many places, but I was super proud of her. Because
well, and here's the thing is that when she's not on her period and she's not dealing with this, it might be interesting to say, well, what is it about the supplies that makes it easier to remember than some of the other stuff that you sometimes struggle with and kind of figuring out how to debrief? Does that make sense?
It does. I think it's a great opportunity to build because now she's got apparently this pouch checklist. So I'm like, hey, this might be the beginning of you owning your plan for your bags.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what's working, what doesn't, that sort of thing. Awesome. Well, congratulations, Mia.
Thanks.
Kara, what about you?
Well, yesterday Declan, after having a long weekend of playing too many games at his dad's house, he came home and I let him play and we talked about how long he was going to play and he got off on time, which, you know, doesn't always happen. So that was pretty great.
Awesome. Congratulations.
You know, we had an agreement and he stuck to it. So that worked well.
So again, like Mia, it's the, you know, what would it take to find the moment at some point to figure out either to yourself or with Declan kind of what was it that made, you know, you might with him start with where's his buy-in, so how much fun was it for him yesterday when there was no arguing or fighting over getting off, and what do you think made it different yesterday?
Yeah.
How open do you think he would be to that kind of conversation?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's like that went well, but then later in the afternoon, things fell apart a bit more just because he kind of started really, he ended up being really deregulated and really rude. So I'd have to see. And right now, I'm like, I don't know. That was a little rough yesterday. But you know, he might if I get him in the right moment. I'll have to see because even this morning, still displaying something. I don't exactly know what it was, but I could try. But we have an appointment with his therapist today. And we'll see. Last week when we went to go see his therapist, he really wasn't willing to participate, and he was just kind of angry. But then the week before, he was great. So it's kind of just go with it, I guess. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Awesome. I think I got everybody. Is that true? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes. Awesome. So this week we're talking about parenting positively. We've been going back through and starting at the core of the model and looking at those four critical response areas. And this is one that I hear from so many of you that this is an important one. We don't want to be that mean mom or mean dad. We want to focus on having a good relationship with our kids. And this is a great reminder to start there. And so if you're struggling with getting your kid to collaborate, if you're struggling with an older team with resistance and, snarky attitude, I always want to go back and start with a relationship. And a lot of you have good relationships with your kids. And it's funny because I just came off of this week's conference and I was meeting a lot of new parents that are in that kind of contentious, broken relationship. And one conversation I had with this mom, I said, so how is your relationship? Well, we used to have a really great relationship, but it's been so focused on homework and this other big problem we're having that we've kind of lost contact. And so I gave her homework for the next 2 weeks to not do anything other than focus on having fun with her kids. And sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we have to just kind of like break down and let go of everything else to really focus in on rebuilding that relationship because, and the quote that I used with her was, rules without relationship equals rebellion. And so if you can have a conscious conversation, if you can have collaboration with your kids, you're going to be in a very different place than you are that if you're normally not, you don't have that great relationship. And I know a lot of you have been really working on this. It helps not just our kids, but it helps us because the likelihood of us going into trigger mode is going to be very different if we've got a stronger relationship because we can do that sort of, hey, what Aaron was talking about, self-regulating, it's like sort of, even if we have conflict, we can both go, okay, wait a second, let's time out, or what do we need to do to have this be a constructive conversation instead of a fight? All of those sorts of things. And on the bottom of this page, 26 on the workbook, it kind of lists some of the tools that we use. Not taking it personally. ACE, which is that acknowledging and validating and showing compassion. Championing and celebrating, non-judgment, openness, humor, transparency, and there's some perfectionism that goes here because a lot of times we have a hard time focusing on the relationships because we're really worried about making sure the paper gets done or that the grades get up or that the garbage goes out, and it kind of gets in the way of this. So what comes up for all of you guys under this concept of parenting positively?
I'll go. It's Tara. It's funny because I was thinking about that a lot this morning because I'm such a task manager, and I think I read somewhere about, always just the task. And it's funny because I'm seeing in myself it's a bit of a compulsion just to get things done, like to do things. Mm-hmm. And, it's a challenge to switch that because it's something in me, and it clearly, bugs him that I'm always like, okay, here, just that. And it doesn't matter how I necessarily approach it. I'm still maybe a nag, like in the morning and at night. Okay, let's do this. Okay, come on, we need to do this. We're going to be late. Blah, blah, blah. And, I'm not yelling. I'm not being, negative in that way, but it's just a constant. Rah, rah, rah. And I'm not really sure what to do the first step because it's something that's so ingrained in me. It's mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a challenge, but I'd like to.
Yeah, that makes sense. We're very focused on getting it done. We're checking off our list. We're busy. We're like overwhelmed, and so it's this sort of okay. What about this? What about this? What about this? So
yeah, it's a habit. It's an ingrained.
Yeah, it's habit. So I guess the question is it about creating a new habit around the relationship? Is it about putting the relationship on the to-do list so you make sure that it's there? Or is it something else?
Hmm. I think both of those are good, but it's like I think I need to break it down. Like we do when we're working on behavior with the kids is even break it down further. It's like maybe just take like one step, like, okay, in the morning, like you said, like putting the relationship on the to-do list, but something specific because I'm so used to doing things the way I do them that I think it's like I need something small yet forceful to start a new direction.
The thing that just popped in my head was, some kind of ritual, right? There's an article I wrote about even rough mornings can end in I love you. And I remember when I would drop my kid off, it was like no matter what happened, we would both, and that the last thing we would do when he'd get out of the car was to tell each other we loved each other. And it kind of creates this routine, this habit, this ritual. I would call it even a ritual. And so for you, what could that ritual look like in the morning routine?
I have to think about it because it's not, it's, there's lots of I love yous in there. I mean, that actually is a ritual I have, but it's stepping back. I think what it is for me is I'm really going to have to look at, and I'll start with morning because it's not just morning, but it is morning. You know what I think? Actually, it's maybe something along the lines of the scaffolding and, you know, getting his kind of buy-in, like, okay, here's what needs to happen in the morning. How would you like me to support you with that? Because I see that I'm always, you know, on you to do this, this, and this, and I don't like that, and I don't think you like it. You know, how would you like me to support you? And what if, you know, what if you're resistant? Because he is, you know. So maybe getting his buy-in. Because it's not that the relationship isn't in there, because it is, and that's a habit I have too, so that's good. But it's just breaking the habit of constantly being on him to do every single little thing, which is annoying, you know. And I think it does get in the way of relationship just because it's annoying. So
right.
maybe it's that. Maybe it's getting his buy-in for what would you like me to do to be helpful. You know, and maybe letting go of some things, because I'm always on him to eat, which is, like, hard. But maybe it's just like, okay, well, if he doesn't eat, he doesn't eat. You know?
That makes sense. So, it sounds like maybe you need to just sit on it a little bit, and then let's loop back when we close off and see whether it's become clear what you want to try to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Other thoughts?
This is Charlene. I too am like Kara. I guess it's a perfectionist thing too that I have been working on for a long time. But I have learned. I'm my thing that I want to focus on more now though is when Carly gets in the car from coming home from school and says the first thing, "Did you do this? Did you hand in your paper? Did you remember to do this? You know, what was fun today?" I want to try to work on having a better conversation with her because I kind of have stopped, like, being on her all morning. I give her her half hour to get ready, and when she comes downstairs, if she hasn't brushed her teeth or washed her face or brushed her hair, she goes to school how she is, and I just let it go. So, but I would like something more positive to work on. I was going to even think of downloading a list of other questions that I could ask when I see her, you know, instead of, "Hi, what was fun today?" And then I immediately go into, "Well, did you remember this? Did you get that?"
Yeah. Well, so what's coming up as you're saying that, today's all about Diane's memory lane with my kids. But we had this thing where when my kids were younger, if someone said something that was critical or, you know, feedback oriented, that they had to say three things that were positive, kind of in balance of it. You know, so it's that 3-to-1 ratio. And so I guess the question is, you know, is it about noticing when they do things right? So it's the classic example, "Thanks so much for bringing the dish to the counter. Can you please put it in the dishwasher?" You know, it's that sort of thanking them for what they do before you focus on what they are not doing. So what comes up for you as I say that, Charlene?
I have a great big note on my cabinet saying, notice what she does do. But for some reason, I always go, and I acknowledge her when she's, you know, loaded the dishwasher and stuff like that, but I still always go to everything she's not doing, you know, or that she could have done and she's not doing.
Yeah. So what do you do to remember? You've got the big note. So have you been ignoring the big note? Do you need to do something?
No, I it seems like that I only notice, like, the little things that she's doing. You know, I don't notice, like, that she did brush her teeth that morning, you know.
Right. Okay. So, again, it's that sort of creating the habit for you and bringing it more front of mind. Did I get that right?
Me? Yeah, creating the habit for me.
And making it more front of mind.
Making it more, you know.
Okay.
More
so it's positive
about
it. Let's see if there's other thoughts from the group, and then we'll go back to figuring out how to get the new habit going. How's that sound?
Okay.
Other thoughts?
This is Mia. My head went in a different direction as I was listening to folks. I was realizing that I tend to be a pretty positive person myself, but not always. And when I get stressed and overwhelmed, I sort of lament the giant list of things I'll never get done. And I get my daughter, with her therapist, has been working on her need to emote all the negative, how every day is the worst, you know, horrible, worst day ever, and how each time she does that, we've been working on, okay, on the bright side, what are 5 good things that happened today? So try to make that kind of reflex, if you will, to reframe. And I realize when my daughter is emoting in her negative way, it's a trigger for me. So I'm sorry, that's just sort of like, wow, that really gets under my skin because it's something I work on. So, so part of one of the challenges of me staying positive is managing that trigger when she's not being positive. It frustrates me because I've worked so hard to stay positive over the years. So I recognize when this is just the stress talking, you know, the world will not end because I haven't, you know, changed the sheets in 2 weeks. Not the end of days, but
So it's keeping yourself positive about when you're not doing everything that you wish you were doing so that you can stay more in problem-solving and connection mode with your kiddo. Is that right?
I think it's that, and also recognizing that when she's not there, that I'm probably triggered and I have to manage that before I can help her get back to a better place. So that one kind of flies under my radar a bit. It's not as big, but I think it's part of that invisible stress that I sometimes carry and don't address that makes me shorter.
Well, it sounds like those are two pretty different things to take aim on. Is there one that feels like a bit? There's a kind of a little bit of a chicken and an egg thing going on, right?
Probably.
So how do you unravel where to start?
I think I need to get curious about my reactions when my daughter is listing her complaints for the day. Like, be quiet and listen to myself and what's going on in my head versus shifting directly into, okay, so on the bright side, so, you know, directly to helping her, but just maybe sit with my own feelings for a minute, focusing perhaps on empathy, which is easier. And
So I'm thinking about ACE. ACE, do you remember that acronym?
Mm-hmm.
So acknowledge and validate, show compassion, take a pause, and then explore, right?
Yeah.
So you lead with the compassion and the empathy. You let her experience that and clear another layer of emotion if she needs to, or maybe that's an opportunity for you to clear some emotion, give yourself some emotion. Wow, sweetie, I can tell this really upset you, and you go in your head, wow, you're really getting triggered by this. What do you need to do to take care of yourself? What do you, you know, it's that sort of, you're kind of managing both brains at the same time, which can be really hard if you're triggered, but noticing where you are, whether you're with her or in your head, I'm wondering what kind of tool that would be to help you unravel from this.
It's a great question because, I mean, I'm just kind of thinking back to the times that the empathy hasn't been as effective, and I think it's been when I was too busy in my own head, not managing my own stuff, when I wasn't able to be present for her. Like, she could tell the empathy was more like a script than actual empathy. So, I'm sorry, I didn't answer your tool question, Diane. I think it's about the pause. So, just pausing to remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the tool I always teach people about pausing is if you do it all the time, you can do it when you really need to, right? So if you get into the habit of every time your child asks you for something or every time your child says something to you, you pause and then you answer, then that moment where you're about to get triggered, you can pause and then answer.
It's not
so how could you build some of that into it?
That's so hard. I'm a fast talker. So I think I need to take a breath before I answer. The questions are only getting harder as she gets older. So, yeah, taking a breath is probably a good place to start.
Okay. So is there some kind of visual cue or some sort of something that will help you to remember to take a breath?
I have a bracelet that says breathe that I haven't been wearing. I should probably put that thing back on my arm.
Oh, that's pretty powerful, huh?
Right. Clearly I knew I needed this, but yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So gonna
you're
going to
wear
right
it in a bikini.
I want one.
Yeah.
I
right.
want one, too. We all need one.
We made them for a Girl Scout craft. You two can do this. Yeah, no, I think I'll put it on my right hand because I never wear anything on my right hand, and so it will attract my attention regularly.
Love that.
Sorry. Thank you. Sorry for that digression there.
No, it was a good digression. It sounds like it would help for everybody. What else is coming up for everybody?
This is Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
So I've been thinking about what my triggers are because I feel like I've been, ever since this summer, I feel like I've been working on making sure my relationship with my son, who's 17, is important and not because I'm the same way with the tasks. Like, it gives me a sense of accomplishment to check them off, and I like to do that, and he does not feel the same way. So
right.
I feel like we've really made progress with that. So I've been trying to figure out what is triggering me lately, and I think it's my 14-year-old daughter because so my son has ADHD. My daughter does not, that I know of. And she's generally been very pleasant and organized, and now she's not so much anymore pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
She's still organized, but in terms of pleasantness, she's a 14-year-old girl, and so I feel like now I have two young adults in our home that are not that pleasant to be around, and I think it just makes my fuse super short, and now it's like it's both of them instead of just one of them at a time, which I feel like it used to be more like one or the other, and now I feel like it's both. So I mean, it's totally me that I need to work on. I know that. But for example, on Sunday, what made me really upset was my son, so he was away at a cross-country meet on Friday and Saturday, and he came home on Sunday, and he needed downtime. I get it. I was fine with that. And then he went and did something so he spent like 5 hours on the couch, went and did something with a friend for 3 hours, which is great. And I said, do you think you need to figure out your homework? He was like, no, I don't have that much. I'm good. So, and I've kind of let him, he gets his stuff done. I've kind of backed off on him as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm.
So then he came home and we were having dinner and we were in the middle of dinner and he's like, I don't know, figured out that out of the blue came this 4-page paper that he thought was only 1 page. And he didn't have time to eat dinner and he had to go. Like, couldn't even sit for 5 more minutes at dinner because he had to go work on his work. And I just, like, I don't know, I thought that was so rude and disrespectful, and, I mean, it's a time management thing.
Okay, so pause for a second, Lauren. Yeah, so pause for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a trigger for you.
Yes.
Right?
Definitely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how aware, so let's go through the 4 steps. How aware of you were you in the moment that it was triggering you?
I think I was pretty aware because I got pretty upset. I mean,
okay.
I.
And so you knew before you got really upset that you were getting upset. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So when you knew that you were getting upset, how able were you to go, wait a second, I need to take a breather here?
Well, before I finished dinner and like everybody had left, I was like, I think I need to go take a walk. And my husband was like, I'll go take a walk with you. And then I proceeded to complain for like 20 minutes. So, I mean, I kind of knew I was triggered, but I felt like I couldn't stop myself from being triggered. And I don't know why. That's the thing I'm trying to figure out is, like, why am I so...
Well, so here's the piece of it with triggers. Tell me if this resonates, because this is what I've been talking about. There's four levels of trigger. At the first level of trigger, we can adjust ourselves, and we can go, oh, Diane, you're starting to get upset. You might need to take some space, take a deep breath, calm down. The second level of trigger, if somebody else says, hey, sweetie, you look like you're upset. Do you need some space? You might be able to calm down. Once you get to the third level of trigger, your ability to self-regulate is really very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may be that there are certain situations that throw you so quickly up to that third level of trigger because you're exhausted or because you're already deregulated or because it's a really big trigger for you. Your ability to regulate is different, and so you kind of need to let go of some energy. When we get to that third level, we got to blow off some steam in order to go back to a lower level of calm. And so it may be that going outside and yelling or venting or whatever else will get you calm enough so that you can reengage, but it may just be that you're already past that self-regulation level. So what comes up for you as I say that?
No, that makes complete sense. I mean, I think I was at that level that I just couldn't, you know, calm down right away. And then after walking, I did feel better. But later that night again, it's just that time management thing of, like, I don't know. You know, like, really, you're going to spend 5 hours on your phone and then you can't
sit at the dinner table for 10 minutes? So hang on. So let's go back. Because so step three of the trigger management, once you reclaim your brain, is getting really clear on what your trigger is and creating a new thought. So what's your thought around time management? Succinctly describe what's that voice in your head that just said, why should you do this when you've been wasting time all afternoon, right? Give it words. What does it say specifically?
I'm sorry, say that part again?
The voice in your head when you're triggered, what does it say about him and time management?
It says that he's rude and has no time management skills and...
Take it a step further. Is he never going to change? Am I a bad mom? What's underneath this? So what's the so what?
Yeah, that he's never going to be able to, like, regulate his own time, which he can. I mean, I know that he can, but...
And he's getting increasingly more and more independent, and it takes time to get there. And the fact that, I got to tell you, the fact that he jumped up and went, oh, my gosh, I got to go work on this, is a huge sign of self-management, because there's a lot of kids that wouldn't even realize. So what else might be true besides the fact that he really does have a hard time with time management and self-regulation?
That I'm having a hard time with them, that I'm having a hard time letting go and letting them... like, separate, and I know it's normal and natural, but letting them, like, grow up, I guess.
So, talk a little bit more about growing up, because it sounds like what you're saying is that you want to be able to let them experiment with what things work and make some mistakes, or is that what you mean, or something else?
No, I guess the heart... The challenge in, like, I guess I let them, I feel like I let them do their own thing a lot, and I give them the freedom to do that, but then on days, like, when it doesn't work, I don't handle that well. I'm like, does that make sense?
Yeah, so if it works,
like,
it's okay, but when it doesn't work. If I would describe it, it sounds like when it doesn't work the way they hope it will, you want to go back to feeling like control woman, mom, right? So it's like this sort of, okay, so then let's do it my way because I know my way might work. Is that resonating?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and them being a lot more independent, too, is, I mean, you know, my son is 17 and a half, so, I mean, that... part of, like, letting them be independent, still being their mom, and still trying to you know, help with scaffold. Like, it's just a balance that
Right. So it's about holding them accountable. So when they do something and it doesn't work, that's where the opportunity comes in. Right. So that's the feedback loop. So it's not so much that you push them to do it your way the next time, as it is, okay, so if it doesn't work, you know, what's your feedback mechanism? You know, do you sit down and talk to me about what worked?
So the next morning, that didn't work for me. It didn't work for me for what I told you about 5 hours on the couch and 3 hours with this friend and no time to sit at the dinner table and up until 12:30 or whatever doing homework. And the next morning I said, hey, so how did that work for you? Like, would you have done anything differently? Nope. It was great. Got all my stuff done and I'm good.
Okay. So the question is, do you let go of your way every once in a while because it doesn't happen that often? Or once they get into the groove of it, do you ask for something so that it feels better for you? How do you grapple with the fact that it's not quite working for you, but it's working for him?
I've come a long way with that because I used to think that it should be the way that I wanted it to be, but I've come to respect that his way is his way and my way is my way. But there's some things, I don't know. I don't know why the whole dinner thing, it just really irritated me. So, I mean, I get that he does things his way, and for the most part, they work out okay.
So what's really bugging you?
I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know, honestly.
Think about it for a minute.
I think just that I feel like they're disrespectful and not, I don't know, because we don't have that much family time anymore. So that is important to me. And I think that's what bothers me the most. And I know they're teenagers and I get all that, but we have such little family time and then.
Yeah. Well, and so then when anything that eats into it, it makes it hard. And so I think that what's coming up for me is can you separate the two, right? So it's that sort of you want to have more family time and you want them to come up with solutions that work for them. And sometimes those two might come in conflict. So if you guys had planned on having family dinner time and he said, hey, Mom, I'm really sorry. I'm going to eat into family dinner time tonight because I had this thing that I thought I had done and I didn't, and now I got to jump in and get it done. It would have been very different than if he just did it.
Right.
Or if you had plans the next night to go out to a movie together or to, you know, go for a walk or whatever else. But it's that consciousness of the family time. And so what I would challenge you to do is, one, take aim sometimes on helping him become more independent and solving his own problems, which he's doing, and take aim on having more conscious family time, which is something completely different. Does that make sense?
Well, and maybe just talking about if something that's important to me, if something is going to come in the way of that, to like at least acknowledge it or talk about it or something. Or
yeah, so the next day, say, I'm so glad that really worked for you. I was disappointed that we didn't have dinner together because I was really looking forward to it. Can we do something special tonight to make up for it? Or next time, you know, can we find, you know, I don't know what it is, but there's a learning there that it sounds like you'd love him to have.
Mm-hmm.
What would feel authentic to you to say?
I can say that. I mean, that if there's the family time is important to me, if there's something that's going to, you know, like if there's something that they have to do to at least like be kind about or say it in a nice way and not just like run away from the dinner table.
Mm. So you there was a little bit of a question mark there. Do you need to practice? Do you need to try it and see what works? What do you want to do?
I can practice and try it. I don't want to take up any more time right now. because I feel like I've been talking a lot. But, no, I feel like that's fair. I feel like we can do that.
Okay.
Thank you for helping me figure that out.
Other thoughts? Other places you're stuck?
Are you talking to me?
No, anybody. Sorry, just opening it back up to the group. Thank you, Lauren.
Hi, this is Kara. I have to get off a little before 10, but something I'm stuck with, and I recognize for whatever reason, and I think it's hormonal, my boys have been with their dad all weekend, I think playing way too many games, which deregulates Declan, but God, he's just, and my hormones were, my tolerance was low. So I was trying to work yesterday because they were off school. I had their friend over. Like, I had bit off too much, and I could see that, but I was still kind of annoyed. But then to have, because Declan, he's so rude to me. Like, I mean, really rude. Like telling me to get out of here, go away. And when he's really not liking what I'm done, tell me shut up and die. I'm like, yeah, okay. And you know what? I'm, for the most part, I'm not reacting. I mean, I did a little bit, but like, I have a really hard time. What do I do with that? Because it's not okay. And I
So what you want, because you know he's dysregulated and you're dysregulated. So
yeah.
Something simple like, ouch, or try again, or I know you can think of a different way to say that, sweetie. You know, it's like that sort of the coming from a place of non-judgment. The challenge is that when you immediately get triggered, which is where we were talking about before, is that sort of the minute you go into that third level of trigger, your ability to say with no judgment, hey, that's not okay, versus lashing out and saying, how dare you speak to me like that, right?
Right, yeah.
Because if I'm calm, I can say, you know, I know you don't want to be mean, or maybe you do, but it's not okay. Please try a different, please say it differently.
Yeah.
So what comes up for you?
And you know, well, mixed feelings. One is, you know, sometimes I do that and he'll apologize, but he's still triggered, and that's okay. So he's triggered. So I have to remember that and be like, okay, that's progress. So maybe recognizing that. And then the other thing that bothers me, and I think it's just me working my head around it, is I know he would never do that with his dad. Like, I know it's him being deregulated, but then I get caught up in my brain because I'm like, you know what? He does have the ability to regulate it. Because, like, every morning when I make him,
hang on a second. Right. And our ability to regulate is completely different in different situations. And I want to tell you to take it as a compliment that he has a harder time with you than he does with his dad. That's because he's more relaxed and he's not scared and he's not walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
And he's not trying to hold it all together.
Yeah, I guess I just need to remember that because it's sometimes I'm just.
And it doesn't make it okay.
The other way.
It doesn't make it okay, but what it does is it puts space between it, the part of you that wants to take it personally, and the part of you that understands that it's just the way his brain is interacting right now.
Yeah. I guess that's the part that I have a hard time with is really believing that. Like, really believing that it's not something I've done wrong because I've been too nice or too whatever.
Okay,
hang on a second.
What would happen if you just pretended that it was true for 2 weeks?
Well, I think I am pretending it's true. I just don't know if I believe it. Because for the most part, I don't react. And I do say things like, try again. Or I haven't said ouch, and maybe I should. Because, like, this morning, it was kind of bugging me. We're walking to school, and I go, you know, and I don't remember exactly what I said, but it was just, and like, you know, I know you don't do that with your dad. Why do you think you do that with me? I don't like it. And he's like, I don't know. Sorry. Stop. You know?
Okay.
That's
awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What a gift that he apologized. And, you know, if he's, here's the thing, Kara, if you believe that he's doing it on purpose and he's singling you out, you're going to react very differently than if you believe that he's just, interesting that it happens when you're around and it doesn't happen as much when his dad's around. That's where the pretending helps, because if you pretend that it's true and say, you know what, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to just assume that the reason he's doing it has absolutely nothing to do with me. It's just literally that he's more relaxed or more, you know, having a bad day or whatever it is, and it's not just me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, I was with my girlfriends over the weekend that I've known forever, and one of them was with me in the morning, and I think I feel, because their sons aren't like that, right? So I kind of feel like judging myself, seeing myself from their perspective. So I need to work on that too. But yes. Yeah. Thank you. I need to hear that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the piece of it, is that sort of when we take it personally, this is the truth about all of us. We've been talking a little bit about triggers today. When we're triggered, our ability to problem solve and remember what we want to do is completely different. And so focus on unraveling the trigger, no matter what it takes, so that you can figure out, is there something to address here that is different at home than it is at dad's? And if so, what is it? And if not, because the reality is if you're triggered by it, all you're going to be doing is swatting at flies and being mad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so before we wrap up, any parting thoughts before we move to our last question?
Melanie here, and I'll be real quick because I'm in a noisy place. I'm taking aim on relationship this week because I've been gone, and I want to get curious with Margaret about what kind of special time she'd like with me after school every day.
Love that. Love that. So let's move to our four questions. So I'm on page 27, Parenting Positively Wrap Up. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? You know, what aha did I have? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So write down a few notes, and I would love to hear from each of you one aha and one action commitment. Thank you, Melanie, for getting us started. If you want to add anything, let me know.
I'm good. Yeah, I'll jump in. Good.
Okay.
My aha was that there's triggers when my daughter's not being positive, and it's a challenge to me staying positive. My clarity and action steps are giving myself the space to recognize and manage my own triggers before I try to help her manage her own, where she is in her head. My action steps, I'm going to actually wear my bracelet that says breathe and work on taking a breath before I respond to anything, not just the things I think trigger me. So.
Awesome. Love that.
Maybe not roll my eyes along with that breath. So, yeah. Oh.
Well, here's the thing to know about yourself, right? So if rolling your eyes clears the emotion so that you can reclaim your brain, roll away. Just don't. If you're rolling your eyes triggers your kid, you may not want to choose that coping mechanism.
Yeah.
You know, it's like who was it talking? Somebody was talking about going for a walk with their spouse and talking and you know, somebody this morning, I was on the phone with somebody, and they're like, used to go out into their car and yell. It's like, whatever you need to do to reclaim your brain, do it, as long as you know that it's not going to have an outcome that you would rather not have.
Yeah. I have learned to look down when I roll my eyes to help clear my brain, because it's like, okay, yeah, this is silly, but not to the person saying it. So
there you go. There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Who else?
This is Erin. I'll go. I actually heard so much great stuff today. Sorry, Diane, what were you going to say?
No, go for it.
Oh, okay. So my aha is that I realized my son and I actually, when the tension is high, I discharge it through sort of some reactivity and more escalating. And he goes the other way. So it just really kind of reinforced for me that to connect with him, it would, like, more in the pause will be very helpful for me to bring down the level, because he just doesn't connect when I'm like that. just to be really mindful of that. And I, the only one I can remember right now is the action step, which is I also something I heard because I am also really missing family time, my kid, because he's got a girlfriend and he's just everywhere but with me. And so I think an action step is I'm going to ask him and work with him to find a way that we can spend some time together, because I think in my house it's probably not going to be that dinner time. But maybe playing cards or something. I don't know. I'll brainstorm with him of how to do that. But I was just listening to the other calls, realizing I'm really missing that too. Just the time. It doesn't have to be dinner.
Okay. So how?
Yeah.
So it sounds like you were thinking a little bit out loud. How clear are you on what your next action is?
I think it's to sit down and have a conversation with him and just say that directly. And find a way to, yeah, very, to just ask and let's schedule it. Something that I think it has to be more on his terms, in the sense of what activity or what focus. Because sitting down and just talking doesn't fly with him right now. He's 17,
got it.
You know. But work with him to figure out how we can do that, because that's what's most important to me is the time. And I think it's important to him, too. I think we're just missing the mark of how to do it.
So how can he help you?
How can he?
Mm-hmm.
I think I just need to hear from him of, like, the structure or the context that will work. Because I notice when we're doing something that he's engaged in, he talks a lot. He really opens up. And so I think if I can let go of my idea of what that needs to look like and really listen to his idea or what that would be, because I don't really care, you know? We can drive to the store, we can go shopping, we can play cards, we can... I really am not attached to that. As I'm saying that out loud, I realize that that's true, that I'm not. The most important thing is that time where I can have his attention.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, cool.
Who else?
This is Kara.
Go for it.
So I kind of had two clarities or takeaways. One was... how to step away from the tax manager and with a realistic action step and how I can set myself up for success is we're actually going to the therapist today. And part of what has him not engaging is because he feels like he's on the defensive a lot when we go there, which I need to work with. But I think this time I'm just going to put in his and say, hey, you know what? And I'm going to say, I see that I've been kind of, you know, bugging you when I do, you know, when I'm saying, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. And I'm going to ask him, like, I'm going to put it in his table and say, you know, how would you like me to help you in the morning? How would you like me to help you with homework? And I'll start with homework because the morning's kind of funny because he's like, well, I don't want to go to school. So he may not want any help with that.
So hang on a second, Kara. So what I'm going to say, and I kind of have the same sort of comment for Aaron, it's like that's, I'm going to challenge you to open up your language a little bit and say, what are a few things we could try with me helping you?
Yeah.
Which is different than
that's what I,
tell me
what
you want
I
me to do.
Wrote. Okay. Yeah. And that's what I actually did write. I wrote, what can I try? And I put try in all caps to let, well, no, I put this for myself. What can I try to let go of? Like, I'm going to try to let go of him eating or walking to school, because we like to walk to school, but if you can't get out of the door in time, we don't have time.
Right.
So, yes. And then I will say that to him, too. What would you like to try? And I've been doing that. With him. So thank you for reminding me. And then also I just wrote,
awesome.
You know, not taking it personally. So
cool. All right. So out.
This is Lauren. My aha is just to try to not get to level three to get trigger, not get to level three in triggeringness.
Mm-hmm.
Either by taking a breath or a walk or something. And then my action I guess they're a little bit related, but I'm going to have a conversation about family time and somehow fitting it in to our weeks or days and weeks.
Okay. How does that feel?
Good.
Okay. Great. Mia?
Sorry. Yes, no, I had already checked out with the going to be working on breathing.
Okay.
Sorry. But just rummaging
no,
through.
Right.
Yep. Yep. No, I'm good.
Okay, great. Melanie, you want to close this off with anything?
What she said. You know, like, I just want to say ditto to everybody. This has been awesome.
This has been a good conversation, and I realized at some point in this process, I totally forgot to take AIM today, so forgive me for that. But it was a really good conversation, so hopefully we did it okay without the normal structures. So
I would have changed my AIM anyway midway through Diane, so it was good.
Awesome.
And I'm
all
going
right,
to ask
ladies.
If I took AIM small enough.
Well, I can do that. So wait, what do you? So remind me. Go back and tell me where are you going to take AIM, Melanie?
So to get curious about what Margaret would like connection time around.
So the only thing that's kind of coming up for me is finding language that Margaret can get that doesn't sound like.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that finding ways to kind of say it in Margaret language?
I can do that.
Or mommy language that Margaret gets, right?
Yep, we've got that.
Cool. Awesome. All right, any parting thoughts? Great call today.
Diane, I have sorry, this is Erin. I'll go super laser fast. I just have a quick question. You said asking the question of what are the things you'd like me to try. Can you clarify that?
Oh, yeah. So when and this is kind of human development, when I say, what do you want to do or what do you want me to do, you're looking for one answer, and our brain immediately thinks that there's some perfect right answer we need to give you, and we tend to freeze. And so if we say, what are three things you might like to try, it takes the pressure off.
Oh, I see. Okay, so like in my conversation is, what are three things you'd like to try so we can spend time together? That kind of thing.
Yeah. What are three things we could try, or three ideas you have? Which one should we try first? You know, but you want to get into the habit of asking for more than one thing. And this is an old coaching tool somebody taught me. It's like, if you ask your client to give you three things, they'll at least give you two, and then they'll have choices. But if you tell somebody, what do you want to do, they kind of we freeze up because we're looking for the right answer.
That is super helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Cool. All right. Any other parting thoughts?
Well, I just, Charlene, I didn't go.
Oh,
my
aha. You were the one I missed. That was what I did. I'm sorry, Charlene.
It's okay. Because I there was a lot that I was gathering, so I had trouble trying to figure out an aha, but I guess it's going to be to more practice with coming up to pay attention more on what she is doing well, you know, if it's remembering her homework or, you know, to acknowledge the things that she is doing well, and maybe trying to come up with questions that I could ask her when I see her after school instead of schoolwork. But I did have another quick question that I wanted to work on, if possible, about boundaries and making good choices around friends to get friends' attention.
So can I challenge you to either bring it to the Lifeline call next week or put something out on the forum and tag me? Because I just want to honor everybody's time because we are at 1 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah. Well, I've never been on the forum, so. But,
oh, wow. I'm going to stretch you to.
What was my first option?
So one would be to bring it to the Lifeline call next week. So the next Lifeline call is next week on Tuesday during this time period. So if you can hold it till next Tuesday, you can do that and just come on the Lifeline call at noon Eastern. The other thing would be to put it on the private forum on Facebook and tag us.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.